Israel-Palestine protests continue unabated at Columbia University ahead of the start of the Jewish holiday, Passover. The school's president, Manoush Shafiq, announced early Monday that classes will be virtual as reports of anti-Semitic and offensive statements and actions on and near the campus escalate.
Someone just got arrested. Things have definitely got a lot more tense.
With many Jewish students reporting that they feel unsafe, according to reports. Demonstrators yelled at pro-Israel passerbyers. One protester repeatedly chanted, "We are Hamas."
Arguments rage in a battle for free speech.
I don't have faith that you'll do this. You guys are all horrible human beings, and Jesus probably would have killed you himself.
You were part of the protest just now.
Yeah, I was a speaker.
Do you think free speech is being attacked?
Absolutely.
Has this been something which has only started happening in the last few weeks? Or do you think this is something which has started happening for years?
It's been happening since 1948.
Really?
Palestinians have been speaking out for 75 years, and they have been violently repressed.
A lot of us are members of minority communities who have experienced similar oppression, similar repression when we try to fight back.
I remind you that these holidays that we practice, that other people in the global south practice, believe in violent revolution against their oppressors.
There are these, like, two narratives that are being presented that, like, you can either be a Zionist or pro-Palestinian, and that's it.
And now we're seeing a media class, a very pro-Israel biased media class, emphasizing what any rogue actor does to try to delegitimize a movement.
So regardless of whether you elect people into office, they'll backstab you, they'll let you die, and for that reason, you guys want to criminalize us with metal detectors, we'll see you at your house.
Well, welcome to Understanding Our Times. I'm Ken Michael. Joining me is Pastor Josh Schwartz. And Josh, we talked about this last week with Jan Markell. It was these protesters are out there. They're gaining momentum. And now we're seeing it become violent where they're actually targeting Jewish students and keeping them from going to class. And they're actually physically assaulting them. So this is ramping up like, unfortunately, we thought it would.
Yeah, absolutely. We are going into the spring. It's riot season. And we have to expect this. Unfortunately, this is going to be the theme throughout the rest of the spring and into the summer. People are going to be rioting. People are going to be really doing lawless things in the name of hatred of the Jews and hatred of any oppressors.
Yeah, and if you hear the rhetoric now, they were just protesting before, but now these protesters are comparing it to racism and oppression that they've experienced. We're yelling not just pro-Palestinian, but pro-Hamas.
Yeah.
And Hamas are known terrorists. So they're yelling things like revolution, intifada. I mean, those are all slogans to eliminate Jews, to persecute Jews. And we saw it in the 1930s with Germany, and it's like history's repeating itself all over again. And the media, what they're saying is, hey, look, these are just outside agitators that are coming in and doing this. The students are protesting, but just a few of these outside agitators are coming in and making these outrageous statements. So,
and I think it's important to remember, just like we talked about last week, remember the April 15th whole protest that they wanted to bring forth. This is an IRGC, Iranian Republic Guard, IRGC, funded and pushed movement. They have operatives that they are putting in place to go ahead and bring these protests about. If they were doing it for the April 15th protest, we know that they're doing this for these protests on college campuses. This week, we've got protests at Columbia University, Yale University, MIT, NYU, the University of Michigan, and now also the University of Sydney in Australia. This is growing, and that's what normally happens, right? As college campuses start to protest, as things start to move, it's going to only grow from one campus to the next, to the next, to the next. And that's what they want.
Yeah, we're going to see this spread like wildfire, unfortunately. And you're right. These protests are planned. They're well-funded. And unfortunately, our own government is helping to fund some of these NGOs that we have out there also, as we've been finding out, that are bringing in the invasion immigrants that are coming to the country. We are funding them. This is planned. This is organized. It's to create a crisis so that the government has to step in and then say, don't worry, we'll manage this. So
right.
The violence like we're seeing is going to be out of control. And we just saw last week.
Yeah.
A school in New York, a Jewish school, was just completely set afire. It burned to the ground. Thankfully, no one was killed. But I mean, this is to the point where it's going to, I don't think there's going to be a slowdown. I think we're going to see similar things that happened during the George Floyd riots, where it's just going to keep escalating and escalating. And unfortunately, it's the Jewish people that are being blamed for it.
Right. And this is the oldest hatred, right? The anti-Semitism is the oldest hatred. And we know that John tells us in 1 John chapter 3 that everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Why? Because sin is lawlessness. And we can turn it on the other way. Lawlessness is sin. And we must expect this. But when it comes down to this Jewish hatred, this anti-Semitism, the greatest, oldest hatred, we saw it all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. Satan, the evil one, knew that God created everything in the garden and it was good, and he wanted to come in, cast some lies to destroy God's good creation. We also see it in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, where the dragon, that ancient serpent, the devil himself, wants to devour the child that the woman is birthing. We know the child is Jesus, the woman is Israel. And why would Satan want to devour the child? Because he knows that the child is the promised one from Genesis 3:16 that would crush his head, that will vanquish and destroy Satan and ultimately cast him into the lake of fire. So this is not just a flesh and blood battle. We know that Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, we're battling against principalities and evil forces, namely Satan himself.
Yeah, and when you look back, we showed a clip last week. Most of these protesters have no idea what they're protesting.
Right.
They hear a narrative, and you have to have a victim and an oppressor, yep. And the Jewish people are the oppressors. Most of these students have no idea what they're protesting. Like I said, when asked if they would support the things that Hamas supports, all of them said, no, I can't support that. So it's deception on a scale like we've never seen. They are being lied to. You've got Jewish students trying to get to class that are being blocked and assaulted. I mean, this is only going to escalate, folks. We are warning about this. This is planned. Mm-hmm. This is organized, and it's well-funded.
And this is part of the Great Reset.
It is.
This is exactly part of pushing Marxism.
Exactly.
Oppressed versus oppressor. You're going to hear that language over and over again this spring. And as we move towards the election, as we move towards everything that's culminating here, we have to free the oppressed from the oppressor. And remember, in this vein, when it comes to anti-Semitism, Israel is the oppressor, and they are oppressing the Palestinians. And so really, Hamas is just being that hero.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
To free the oppressed from their Jewish oppressor or occupier. This is a lie. God himself promised the land to Israel. There's evidence all throughout recent and far history that this is their land. And actually the ones who are coming to take it are the Palestinians, are those who hate the Jews.
Exactly. And folks, we need to be ready this coming late spring, early summer. We have two conventions coming, and we've been warning about this. You're going to see these rent-a-rioters showing up at these, and I pray I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. This is going to get ugly. This is going to get extremely violent, and there's going to have to be a response. It's going to be demanded from the people, and unfortunately, I think our government is totally prepared to respond and come down on those who are going to push back against the violence, mm-hmm. not the perpetrators of the violence,
sure.
but the ones trying to hold it back.
Yeah, the ones that are actually not doing the lawless deeds, that are standing up for truth, that are standing up for freedom. Absolutely.
Which segues into what Israel did with Iran mm-hmm. recently. I mean, we're going to show a clip on that, but Israel had to respond to the outrageous attack, the over 350 rockets, missiles, and drones. They had no choice. Mm-hmm. But the attack itself, I think, was very strategic on their part.
Yes.
And it left them understanding, well, it left Iran understanding that how vulnerable they are.
Yeah.
I mean, and so I want to show you a clip and then we'll comment on it. You're going to hear from a Defense Department analyst expert, and Caroline Glick also commented on this, and the president.
Yeah.
We're dealing with a true ancient evil in the Middle East. This is exactly how, I mean, and let's just be honest here. This is not a surprise or a secret that the proxy status is dissolving in front of us and that the Middle East is becoming something new and something terrible. This is a result of foreign policy. This is Joe Biden's foreign policy. He went away from the Abraham Accords. He re-engaged with Iran, coddled Iran.
You condemn the anti-Semitic protests on college campuses.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians and how they're being
moved. Showing them that we're very powerful. I think it also, by the way, sent a very important message to the Israeli people that, look, you know, we don't have to be in a state of panic. There are a lot of things that we can do. We're capable. We just hit Iran. This was not hard. You know, we barely broke into a sweat. We can't do everything. We can't do it, you know, often. And especially when we're fighting a massively expensive war and we keep having to get resupplied by the United States, massively expand our own production lines. It's hard. You know, we can't win this war on defense. We can only win it on offense.
So, Josh, you had the previous administration set up the Abrahamic Accords, which brought the Middle Eastern countries together like never before. Countries that were in conflict with Israel. They had gone to war in previous years with each other. Mm-hmm. Now getting along, you had other countries like Saudi Arabia ready to join that.
Yep.
And that was going well. And now this current administration has decided, you know what, we're going to side with Iran, mm-hmm. a known terrorist organization that is responsible for killing thousands of soldiers worldwide, including our own. We're going to now bring them into the fold and give them money. You saw the Obama administration do that when they dropped off pallets full of gold and cash. Mm-hmm. So none of this makes sense unless you want the outcome that we're seeing right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And specifically when it comes down to that clip of Joe Biden, he's referring primarily to what's going on this week on the campuses and condemning the anti-Semitism there. But he also, like you said, he says, I have a plan, and that's why I've instituted my plan. And he condemns those who don't know what's going on with Palestine. It's just a fascinating thing that he's condemning it, but he's also saying there's good actors on both sides.
Exactly. That's exactly what he's saying. While condemning, you know, the protests and the anti-Semitism, he's saying, you know what? What the Palestinians are doing right now, they're totally justified mm-hmm. in doing. It's kind of the carrot and the stick.
Yeah.
We're going to condemn this, but if you don't stop doing what you're doing against, and they say the Palestinians, but it's actually Hamas.
Right.
That's who Israel's fighting. They're fighting a terrorist group.
Yes.
And basically being condemned for it. So Israel knows that it's kind of a double-edged sword. They're going to do what they have to do.
Right.
They also understand that this administration is not fully on board with them. Yeah. And they're this carrot and stick, like I said. If they continue this, I know behind the scenes, and we're hearing that our government is saying, you know what, we're going to pull back our supply chain, the weapons and supplies that we're giving you.
Well, and praise God that our government had voted in an aid package this past weekend for Israel. So there is going to be more aid there. But it's very expensive for them to defend themselves. Billions of dollars to have a 99% success rate against the initial Iranian attack. That's not only amazing, but really that was an act of God. That was miraculous to the point of what took place there. God's hand was on Israel and protecting his people. Now, when it comes to this retaliation, though, it was probably one of the best way that they could retaliate to Iran, saying we will and can attack you however we want, whenever we want, and you have no idea about it.
Exactly. And so it's kind of, you know, like you said, it's almost God's hand is on them. We know that. Mm-hmm. Israel is the apple of his eye. And as we've said before, it's like the setup for the Ezekiel 38.
Yeah.
It's not here yet, but it's certainly, I think it's a foreshadowing of that. And if you haven't read those verses, Ezekiel 38 and 39, we've read them on this program and we'll do it again in the future.
Yep.
But become familiar with those, because all of the nations that are going to come against Israel are going to come from the north, and they don't have to travel very far.
No.
They're already set up in Syria. So they, it's not like they have to travel to Russia and all the and Turkey and these other countries, Iran. They're not going to have to travel very far. They're already there.
And we have to also keep in mind that this doesn't necessarily have to happen after the rapture of the church. We could absolutely see these things. This is can easily change overnight, really, when it comes to who begins to war against Israel. We know that Iran is using proxies, but at what point does Iran start pushing more? They already have launched literally 350 projectiles towards Israel. When does Russia come into play?
Exactly.
When does Turkey come into play?
Exactly.
I mean, it's fascinating to me that even Turkey is still part of NATO, but we're going to see this collapse of support for Israel, and everyone's turning their back on her. And it's prophesied in the scriptures.
Folks, keep your eye on Israel. Pray for Jerusalem. The world right now, Josh, we're sitting on a tinderbox.
Yeah.
And it's only going to take a small spark to set this whole thing mm-hmm. on fire. So we need to keep praying. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, folks, we're going to be traveling to various places around the country. Pastor Josh, I know you have one coming up.
Yeah, coming up this weekend, April 26th and 27th, I'll be in Silver Spring, Maryland at the People's Community Baptist Church, dealing with some crucial conversations. And what we mean by crucial conversations is the things that we talk about constantly here. These are crucial to keep on the forefront of our minds. We'll be dealing with globalism to the war in Israel, and we'll also be dealing with why it is a biblical understanding to have a pre-tribulation rapture. We're also going to be dealing with AI and the apostasy of the church.
Very nice. And then I've got a couple events coming up this Saturday, actually, April 27th. I'll be at Grace Fellowship Church, Comstock Park, Michigan. We're going to have a wonderful event there. I'm looking forward to that. If you're in the Comstock Park, Grand Rapids, Michigan area, please come out and see us. And then Saturday, May 18th, from 6 to 9 p.m., I'm going to be in Northern California. Beautiful site, Yosemite Lakes Community Church, Coors Gold, California. I'm looking forward to that. I know we've got listeners up there. And then June 27th through the 30th, Pastor Josh and I will be at Prophecy Watchers again in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Mm-hmm. If you missed the one in Orlando, please check this out. Amazing speakers. There'll be about 27, 28 of us, I believe, there. So if you're in the Colorado Springs area, please come out and join us.
Yeah, and then also right before that, we have our pastor's huddle here in the Twin Cities. It's going to be our third pastor's huddle. Dr. Mike Powell is going to come and talk to us again. He's going to be more of a workshop this time on turning your hermeneutic into a homiletic. So taking the Word of God as it is, as God's very word speaking to us, and then how then do we exposit that? How do we preach that and apply it to the people? So if you are a pastor listening to this, please register, come join us. We still have space open. If you aren't a pastor, but you want your pastor to come, invite him, let him know that this is open. We have scholarships available. It's going to be a great time together.
Awesome. Well, Josh, why don't you close us out here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important to always remember our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to bring today a very important text that is straightforward about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it comes out of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this. Paul writes to the church saying, "Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Now, Paul's going to lay out exactly what this gospel that he preached to them is. Verse 3 says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ, that is Jesus, died for our sins in accordance with the Scripture." What does that mean? Jesus literally died. He didn't die for fun. He didn't die for nothing. His death was not in vain. His death was for sin, to make the payment, the atonement for sin. All people that have ever walked the face of the earth are sinful, therefore in need of a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. He came, he lived a perfect life, and he died a perfect death to atone for sin. That's what Paul is saying here. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Verse 4 says this, "He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Death had no hold on him. The grave could not keep him because he was the Son of God. And the resurrection is proof of the importance and the significance and the completion of Jesus' sacrifice. He resurrected. God received that atonement, that Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, by resurrecting. And then he says in verse 5, "And that he appeared." So after he resurrected, he appeared to Cephas, that is Peter, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom, as Paul is writing this letter, are still alive, though some have fallen asleep, that is, died. Do you realize how important this is? Jesus literally lived, he literally died, he literally resurrected, and so much so was his resurrection literal and physical and bodily that over 500 people, over a number of 40 to 50 days, saw him. So the proof is there. This actually happened. This really took place. So there's historicity, there's veracity to it, so we can place our faith in Jesus, in his perfect work. That's the gospel, friends. Jesus loves you. He came to live a life for you that you couldn't live, a righteous life. He died a death that you deserved in your place so that by believing in him, you would have eternal life. That's what Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 15. He preached the gospel to you, they receive it, and they stand. Friends, here, you have heard the gospel now, the good news of Jesus Christ, that salvation is through Jesus alone, faith alone, by his grace alone. And from there, will you receive it? And when you do receive it, guess what? You can stand before a holy, righteous God, because there will be judgment that comes. But through the blood of Jesus, who's covered me and has covered you and has covered numerous of our listeners, we can stand before a holy God. If you haven't called out to Jesus today, I would encourage you, call out to him. Recognize that he is who he's proved himself to be. He is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Believe in him, and you also can receive eternal life.
Amen. And folks, there's so much going on right now. Things are changing literally by the hour. So tune in next week and keep up with what's going on. But don't forget, the people that were living at that time missed the signs of Jesus' first coming.
Mm-hmm.
Church, let's not miss the signs of his second coming. So therefore, be watchmen on the wall. Keep watch and look up. We'll see you next week, and God bless you all.